cultural experience. Dive into a multitude of workshops from Indian rhythm on Western drums to playing raga music on the guitar. For more information and tickets, visit festivaloftabla.com and kpfk.org.
This is Gary Oldman. You're listening to Radio Powered by the People, KPFK 90.7 FM.
Icy cold curves of Angeles Crest Highway to the sunny shores of PCH. This is the Car Show, broadcasting every Saturday on 90.7 KPFK FM Los Angeles for over 50 years. I am your humble host, Mark Vaughn from AutoWeek.com. I am joined this week and every week by my favorite co-hosts in the world, our Orange County Bureau Chief, practicing attorney, and owner of two Mazdas, a Miata, and an RX-8. Michelle Spencer, welcome to the Car Show.
Hey, Mark. Glad to be here with you and Ricardo to talk about cars.
And our other favorite co-host in the world, an automotive journalism veteran who broadcasts in both English and Spanish, host of Garage Latino on Believe Network, current president of the Hispanic Motor Press Association, Ricardo Rodriguez Long. Welcome, Ricardo.
Good afternoon, everyone, and another car show. 50 years of bringing you news and things to do around LA. We're so blessed to have such a big auto community in our town.
We are. And Ricardo used to have a KPFK, the car show sticker on his race car.
That's right.
And when was that? How long? That was a long time ago, right?
That would have been 80s, early 80s, mid 80s.
So he has been a fan before he became a host. So check that out, folks. There is hope. See, that just shows that racing does pay off.
That's right. That's right. Big time.
Make a huge fortune in racing by starting with an even huger fortune. All right. We're going to start our calendar section with the usual admonition. If you are an organizer of an event and you want people to come to it, and you put up something on Instagram, Facebook, the internet, the email, anything, please write down who, what, when, where. You don't have to write why. Just say what it is you're promoting, when it is, and where it is. That would be enough. Almost 90% of the things I see are missing at least one of those elements, and so they do not get onto our show. So please do that. Another great source of car calendar information is a website called SoCalCarCulture.com. Check that out. You can get all the cruise ins. There's probably one in your neighborhood just down the street. A lot of good hot rodding stuff there. Give them a look. One of the most interesting things that I came up with is happening tonight. It is the Ugly Hawaiian Shirt Night at Industry Speedway. That's right, folks. Ugly Hawaiian shirts. You've got a bunch of them in the closet, and your significant other, spouse, however you want to word that person, is never going to let you out of the house with it. Well, tonight, this is what you say. You say, "But baby, I heard it right here on the car show. I want to wear my ugly Hawaiian shirt." And just as that person is coming at you with the rolling pin, you grab the shirt, you hop into your hot rod, and you speed off into the night to Ugly Hawaiian Shirt Night at Industry Speedway Racing. Now, that address is 16200 Temple Avenue, City of Industry. It's right off of the 60 freeway, sort of sitting up there on a hill. You can't miss it. But it is not just Ugly Hawaiian Shirt Night. It is Legends and Heroes Night. And one of the guys who's going to be there is Danny Thompson. Yes, the son of Mickey Thompson. And the guy who set, in his own right, he set a land speed record in the Streamliner at 448.757 miles per hour in a Streamliner. You can meet Danny. talk about going fast. There will be a lot of other legends there. And then you can watch some great and crazy speedway racing. Now, as you know, those are dirt tracks. That's a dirt track. And the cars are cars. Listen to me. Somebody, I need adult supervision here, or maybe a conservatorship, or both. They are motorcycles, and they have no brakes, so they just flip them sideways. Remember on any Sunday, flipping them sideways at 120. Well, they're not going 120 because it's a pretty small – it's an indoor small track, but they are going to be going really fast, and they're going to be going sideways, and they have no brakes. And it's a great family affair. Right, Ricardo?
And I might mention it's direct gear as well.
Oh, it's direct gear. Okay. So it's just one gear?
It's one gear and no brakes and hold on.
Have you ever done it?
No, I always wanted to do it. I'm too old now, but I think it's super exciting. And actually, I grew up in a town that it was the Mecca in Argentina for Speedway in Bahia Blanca. And they had a lot of international competitions and people used to come from Australia and New Zealand for the championship. So I did grow up with Speedway. And I think it's wonderful to see these bikes that are going sideways the whole circuit. And you have to be very brave. I mean, it's just like all or nothing for four laps.
They're handlebar to handlebar all the way around. It is pretty exciting stuff. I got to do it once, and I'm blanking on the guy's name, but he was the current champion. This was about a year or two ago, and I was going around the track kind of near him, and I thought, I can go as fast as he's going. Of course I'm good. And happened was I went flying off and bent the handlebar. And it's like, I thought, oh, this is going to be a big deal. It's like, nah, that happens all the time. Just pick up the bike and keep going. Yes, sissy. So that's what I did, by golly. And you can go see it tonight at Industry Hills Expo Center, 16200 Temple Avenue, City of Industry, 91744. And bring your ugly Hawaiian shirt. So from there, we're going to go from things of ugliness to things of great beauty, Italian beauty. August 3rd, Macanissima 2 in Los Angeles. It's a collection, a celebration of Italian cars, and there are going to be a lot of them out there. This is happening August 3rd at 570 West Avenue 26 in Los Angeles. That's right near where the Pasadena Freeway and the 5 Freeway intersect, right near within a couple of blocks of that.
The tunnels. That's going,
yeah, right about where the tunnels are. Macanissima 3, they had a Macanissima last year. I enjoyed it. I hung out there and went there and saw they had among the great cool cars there was a Lancia B20 that had the top chopped. So that, you know how you chop the top on Mercury's 49 to 51 Mercury's. They are doing that to Lancia B20s and they just look beautiful. But there were Alfa Romeo 6Cs and 8Cs and beautiful classic cars. And then there's going to be my crummy little Lancia Appia there too, assuming it starts and can get all the way from my house down to 570 West Avenue 26.
Can you make it up the hill?
Los Angeles.
Can you get to the other side of the mountain from your house
there's
to the valley?
No hill. There's no hill between my house and there. It's just downhill in more ways than one. So I don't have the actual time that this is, but it's usually you just go there in the morning and you'll see it. It's really cool. It's going to be a wonderful collection. It's going to be 3 to 4 times bigger than the first show. There'll be significantly more, they say, significantly more than 100 cars, motorcycles, and classic Italian bicycles in a beautiful setting. So expect the usual mix from the ridiculous, my car, to the sublime, everything else. And there'll be some introductions of cars and bikes at the show that you will be glad you went down to check out. Macanissima 2 in Los Angeles, August 3rd, 570 West Avenue 26, Los Angeles. That's August 3rd, remember. Who wants to tell us what's coming up next there at the
Michelle, tell us. Michelle, go ahead and tell us that same afternoon after you've been done with Macanissima by lunchtime, you can head where?
Go to the Peterson at 6 o'clock. Four new exhibits are going to be open on the second floor. This will be their opening night. So let's see, what do they have here? Supercars, hypercars, Waymos. Okay, for those who don't know, those are the self-driving vehicles. Yeah, go ahead and look up what happened on one recently. There is some Google stuff on that. Did you guys hear?
The one they attacked?
Yes, yes.
No one's going to be attacking the Waymo cars at the Peterson. We want to point that out, and we do not condone nor encourage attacking of the Waymo self-driving vehicles that will be at the Peterson Museum August 3rd at 6 p.m.
And they're not going to be crashing into things either. So there. Yeah.
Michelle.
And
Michelle's so flabbergasted by the thought of a Waymo being smashed with a hammer.
Yeah.
But that should be pretty good. Actually, the thing I have here is four new exhibits will be opening on the second floor.
Yes.
So is this on? You can be among the first to see the exhibits in person. They'll have entertainment, food, drink served all night. I think you want to contact peterson.org to get tickets for that, because this is the opening night, right? August 3rd, 6 p.m. So you want to be sure and get tickets. Go to peterson.org, check that out. And then, of course, after that, you know, Sunday or whenever, the exhibits are just open to anybody who wants to show up and go visit the museum. So four new exhibits, supercars, hypercars, Waymo, self-driving vehicles, iconic concept cars from the 90s and the aughts, and an impressive display of vehicles that drove the EV industry forward from 1900 to 2024. So get ready for those four specially curated exhibits exploring multiple facets of modern day vehicles, between performance extreme, design extravaganza, and pushing the technological barriers of electric and self-driving vehicles. So it starts the opening shindig is August 3rd, 6 p.m. Go to peterson.org to get your tickets.
I was trying to think of a thread in between all of these different exhibits on the second floor, and I'm really not seeing anything.
There is none, except that they're all opening at the same time.
So. All right, for the Peterson. So there'll be something for everyone. Isn't that what they say?
That's what they say. It's a buffet. It's a smorgasbord. It's a little bit of everything. Who wants Subi Fest? Oh,
Next Sunday, that will be August the 4th. For all of you out there that are into Subarus, we have the Subi Fest. It's going to happen at the Santa Anita Horse Track, which a lot of car events are happening there in Arcadia. And it's supposed to be the largest Subaru enthusiast festival. So thousands of Subarus are expected to arrive. And as you know, Subarus, a lot of youngsters like to modify these cars. There's a lot of history with Subarus in rally, but also in the United States, I see a lot of youngsters that put these bigger wheels, they race up the suspension and they use it to go into the trails. So I imagine there's going to be quite a show. They expect, literally thousands of cars. You know, Southern California, it's big. So it will be something interesting. You can get information at subifest.com. Again, subifest.com. I think you will need tickets, and I'm sure you will be able to walk to the back and also enjoy all these fine and expensive horses that are in the back of the Santa Anita track.
That's on the far side of the other edge of the parking lot. Be a lot of walking to get there, but it's good for you. What do you think, Michelle?
Well, I actually have a press pass to the Subi Fest.
How'd you get that?
I asked.
Well, what a novel idea.
So you should take your Mazda Miata and do the autocross among all those Subarus and show them why the Mazda MX-5 is better for an autocross.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Yeah, and that's a good thing to remember here is if you go and you want to put your WRX on the track, you can do that. You can sign up separately to autocross.
But do you have to have a Subaru to do the autocross? I would imagine so. No?
No.
I think the only requirement is that you have to have a helmet if you want to do the autocross.
Right.
Yep.
And not a motorcycle helmet.
And you have to sign a waiver, of course. There's always a waiver.
Helmets have to be SA 2015 or SA 2020, and they are subject to inspection. No passengers allowed. Tech inspection required on site. I wonder what that will entail, tech inspection. I once raced, so to say, at the old Terminal Island drag strip, and the tech inspection, they had me pop the hood. It was a Cadillac press car, and they kind of just looked, and I don't know, okay, and they closed the hood, and off I ran.
Yeah, so it's more going to be like a safety inspection just to make sure that all your stuff is good and solid and not going to blow up. Like, you're not going to have a John Force day.
No breathalyzer. Poor John Force. John Force.
He's doing better. He just got out of the Neuro Institute in Phoenix. Ooh. And he's home. He just went home.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. So did he have like damage?
He had a fractured arm. And he had a nice bell ringing, which means, you know, his head got moved around quite a bit. So he had a concussion. He has a traumatic brain injury.
Oh.
And so he's recovering. That's where he's been. He's been in a very intensive but world-class, top care level facility in Phoenix. And he's been discharged. So he's fit their criteria for moving along. Oh,
is
yeah.
Is he walking and talking and everything?
He is.
Okay. He just got knocked out really well, I guess. Well,
yeah, I just cannot imagine John Force having to be at the hospital and being quiet.
Oh.
So that might have been quite an experience for him.
Yeah.
Relax, and don't talk. Relax.
Right. His daughters were there with him because I follow both of them because they're racers too. So they've been posting tons of pictures of them with their dad, and they've been staying with him from the get-go when he was in Virginia and in Phoenix. And now they're all excited because he went home. So
he's walking and talking and everything.
Yeah, he's with it.
That guy
is amazing. 300 miles an hour he crashed.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
What a mess.
And he's not a young chick. You know, he's been doing this for quite a long time.
He must be made of titanium, that guy. It's awesome. Wow.
And he had only 5 or 6 years ago, he had another huge accident that he was in the hospital for a while recovering from. So, well, we wish him all the best, John Force.
So may the force be with you, John Force.
There you go.
Now, if you are not into Subarus or Miatas and you want to do something else next Sunday, the Marconi Automotive Museum is celebrating its 30th anniversary. 30 years now. Wow, I can't believe it. I remember I went to the opening. I can't believe that it's already 30 years.
I was there too.
Years.
We're old, man.
Yeah. And actually, we did have some MPG dinners there.
Events. Yeah, they have events there. Yeah, you can rent it out.
All right.
Yeah, that's so
Sunday, August 4th. That's a week from tomorrow, right?
That's right. That's right.
And that's so, open house, so it's free admission.
Food and beverage. Yep. 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock in the center area. They usually reserve for show cars, but there's tons of street parking around this. It's on Industrial Drive in Tustin. It's off the 5 freeway, 1302 Industrial Drive. And you can go to marconimuseum.org if you want a little more information about what the exhibits, you know, what's in the museum itself and their charitable work with kids at risk.
Okay. And they probably you can go to that website in order to try and get your car into the pre-selected display area. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Good luck. Yeah. Orange County has a good collection of cool cars.
There's no shortage.
Another thing quickly, of course, Lake Tahoe Concours, that's a boat show, August 9th through 10th. Go to laketahoeconcours.com. If you're looking for a road trip excuse, that's the one that you want to do. Go up there, check that out, August 9th and 10th, right? 2 minutes to go. Let's quickly get a little farther up the coast, August 10th and 11th. That is 2 weeks from now, the Santa Barbara County Auto Expo 2024. It's put on by the Community Hot Rod Project, held at UC Santa Barbara's Stork Field. Now, Saturday, they have a rally, and that Saturday evening is a gala. Sunday is the Auto Expo car show at Stork Field. Proceeds go to the Community Hot Rod Project's Vocational Training Center, welcoming all years of makes, models of cars and motorcycles. Past shows have had over 400 cars and over 7,000 spectators. Now, that Community Hot Rod Project offers free vocational program that uses a hands-on approach for applying the principles students are currently learning in their math and science classes to, you know, restore cool old cars. So that is the Santa Barbara County Auto Expo at the UC Santa Barbara Stork Field. The car show itself will be on Sunday, August 11th. Check that out. One more quick thing. We have 30 seconds, Michelle, for a night of destruction.
Mm-hmm. Okay, August 10th. Speedway in at Paris Auto Speedway. Hello. LKQ Pick Your Part presents Night of Destruction with Democross figure eights, trailer figure eights, mini stocks, and my favorite, the double deckers. You can show up and buy tickets, or you can get them in advance at parisautospeedway.com. That's August 10th, and gates open at 5, racing at 7.
All right. Very good. Now we move on to the news section, and Ricardo is going to rant about the NASCAR electric prototype. Go, Ricardo.
But before that, I want to mention something that I have mixed feelings. NISA has just announced that they are getting out of the sedan segment. So goodbye, Maxima. Goodbye, Altima.
Wait, Nissan's still in business?
Oh.
Oh, that's uncalled for. That's uncalled for. See, this is what happens when we don't have any advertisers, no corporate influence. We make flippant remarks, not based on anything, just cruelty.
I just reviewed The Rogue.
Oh, that's right. Apparently. Oh, we take it all back. We take it all. We got our first, Michelle got her first press car from Nissan. Okay. I withdraw that joke.
About first one in 5 years. How's that?
I withdraw that joke. Go on. Sorry.
I would say again, Nissan is just the company that at one point, it still sells a lot of cars, but after Mr. Carlos Ghosn was
gone.
The company has not been the same. Anyway, I think, you know, Maxima and Altima has been very, very popular cars. So I'm a little bit surprised. I guess I would have to look at the sales figures and see if the sales have really declined on all these vehicles. But like I said, I'm a little bit surprised. But let's go back to NASCAR. I'm trying to understand, and maybe our audience can help us out by posting some comments on our Facebook and just to give us a thought. What do you think? This NASCAR has a prototype, that it is not only an electric vehicle, but also a crossover. So is the future of NASCAR being electrics and crossovers, SUV, on the track? I don't know. I think that
Ricardo. Where do you get a crossover out of this? I'm looking at it. It doesn't look like a crossover.
Well, I don't know what it looks like. It doesn't look like
it. It looks like, you know, a typical NASCAR race car.
Like a sedan.
Yeah, it has ABB on the side. Is that the one we're talking about?
Yes.
Brown Boveri. That's a German battery maker.
Oh, good.
Wow.
Even
good
better.
Good for you, Mark. Wow.
Even better. This project, it's Chevrolet, Ford, and Toyota are involved in developing this concept. I just think that today NASCAR is struggling a little bit with viewership, and I'm not sure if this is the right demographic that's going to accept having an electric vehicle in NASCAR. Maybe it's too early. It's just planting the seeds for the future. But it just took me a little bit by surprise that the NASCAR will be involved in such a project. Because I just think that today just does not fit with the demographics and what the current racing.
That's true. Can you imagine? I mean, this is the crowd that came up with the "Let's Go Brandon" chant. Okay,
right.
They are not going to embrace alternative fuel and an electric car. They love to hear the roar of the whole field coming around the corner. What is it? 43 cars, big V8 engines, and they probably prefer carburetors.
And if you recall, NASCAR was probably the last sanctioning body in the world that still allowed carburetors on the cars.
Right.
You know, 20 years after everybody was using fuel injection. So that's why, to me, it's a little bit like I just don't understand, you know, what is this project trying to prove?
Well, I can tell you at autoweek.com, we have an article about it. It says the electric prototype is part of a bigger initiative known as NASCAR Impact, which involves NASCAR and the OEMs working together to develop alternatives to the current internal combustion engine and to determine what will be raced in the future. NASCAR has stated a goal of net zero carbon emissions by 2035, and it believes Asaya Brown Bulverai, a world leader in electrification and automation, can help it achieve that goal. The partnership between NASCAR and ABB was announced simultaneously with the unveiling of the EV prototype. So, and I have heard other places that this is not going to replace our beloved NASCAR Cup cars, our internal combustion engine cars. Right now, this is just like, hey, here's an idea. Look at this. It might be a series just of electric cars in the same way that the trucks are a series and, you know, Bush or whatever, you know, another support race for it. But they have said 2035. I don't know. I'm not planning on being alive then. Ricardo, you're still young, so you'll still be around. But well, Michelle, you'll last forever. You'll still be young and around then. So we'll see.
Well, I think the reality of all motorsports in general is that we still don't know what's going to be the future of motorsports. Things have changed. Demographics have changed. The way people think, the way that people buy cars and all of that has completely changed. And as we can see, the change happens faster every year. It's hard to tell what is going to be, you know, what we're going to call racing in by 2035. I mean, we already have a series starting where are completely autonomous vehicles. So,
Struggling to start.
But it's already running, right?
They did get two cars wheel to wheel at 150 miles per hour at Las Vegas during the last CES. That's the autonomous race. So the world is changing. We cannot, you know, stick with big V8 forever. Maybe we can. I don't know. Because have you ever, anybody here ever gone to a Formula E race?
Well, I was just going to bring that up. Yeah.
You've actually been to one?
No, but it's hard to go to one, right? In the U.S.
I think they're going to be part of the Formula One race in Las Vegas, perhaps.
Well, if they are, it's pretty rare to get to go. Where did you see it, Ricardo?
Long Beach, when they run in Long Beach. Mm. That was the first year. And actually, I met the fellow that started that series is a man from Spain, and I can't remember his name right now.
Yeah, he's he married the Spanish prime minister's daughter. What the heck is his name? Oh, we'll think of it.
But
later.
He was, you know, he's always been involved in racing, and he did manage I believe it was the GT3 series before that.
Yes.
And so he's very knowledgeable, and he created a very good platform. And my kudos to him. He was able to capitalize on this electric vehicle movement. And now it's already 10 years that this, you know, Formula E has been out there. And that's, you know, it helps manufacturers trying to figure out what works, what doesn't work in terms of longevity, speed, et cetera, special batteries. So I commend them. It's a little bit I like what they do, targeting the younger crowd to get into racing where they can, you know, sort of interact much more than they could do it with NASCAR or an F1. So I think that's important. Now, even that, if you tell me in 20 years from now, is that still going to be around? I have no idea because everything is changing very, very fast. We spoke about this driverless racing cars, 150 miles an hour. Robotaxis are coming. We want it or not, it's beyond doubt that they're going to be with us. So what's racing is going to be 10, 15 years from now? I don't know. It's going to be difficult to predict.
NASCAR is also looking at hybrid engines, which are used in IMSA, and hydrogen-powered vehicles that are being developed and raced by Toyota. So after the 2023 season ended, NASCAR executives traveled to Japan to examine the hydrogen unit under development. Now, if they used hydrogen fuel in an internal combustion engine, you would still have the great exhaust sound that these fans love, and you would have zero emissions. So,
yep. Now that you mentioned hydrogen and fuel cells, I was reading this week about this company in China that sold 1 million bicycles in 24 hours, a new bicycle that is powered by hydrogen. The hydrogen comes in a tube that is a equivalent of a 1 liter water bottle, obviously ready for high pressure. It takes about 10 seconds to change it. So that will be very, very quick. The cost of that hydrogen bottle, it's about $2.50 on the exchange, and it can provide enough energy to run about 50 kilometers. So that'll be what, about 32 miles or so. And this bicycle can go up to 30 miles an hour. And I'm just, there's a whole network already established where you can buy these hydrogen bottles in a lot of markets and stores. Something to keep in mind, because that's a way to use hydrogen in a very practical manner.
Okay, a couple of thoughts on that. I have not heard anything about this. They sold 1 million bicycles in one day.
Yes.
I have not heard anything about this. Hydrogen.
I know. I bring
it. Was your source the Weekly
News.
World News or something? Or
Jesus Christ. We need to expand our minds and look at what's going on in the world. Jeez.
I have not heard anything about this.
It's not my fault, Mark.
a million bicycles in one day? They sold?
I will send the information to Michelle so she can post it on Facebook.
Thank
Michelle.
You.
Michelle will verify it as our lawyer. The other thing is hydrogen, 99% of all hydrogen made on Earth right now is made through reformation of natural gas, which gives off CO2. So unless they have come up with some clean way of making hydrogen, all you're doing is transferring the emissions somewhere else. It's
just exactly like we do with electricity. It's the same thing.
So electricity, electricity is different. I have solar panels on the roof of my house.
It goes
straight into my electric car. It's possible electricity without making CO2. I grant you there are places where they make electricity using coal. Okay, but that is not the only way to do it. Right now, the only way to make hydrogen is by reformation of natural gas, which is not at all clean.
I don't know. I'm just looking at the government data, and still 70%+ of the electricity generated in the United States is using some type of coal or fuel.
No, that is not true. 70%. Oh, my goodness.
Well,
okay, before
hybrids,
we talk about these things, send me your stuff just so that I can look at it. 70% is not from coal. You know, it's not.
I didn't say
in
coal.
West Virginia, you said coal.
I said fuel generated. It could be coal. It could be wood burning. It could be trash burning. But it's generating emissions.
Methane, cows.
The grid is not 100% green. The grid is getting greener.
And I also wanted to say that in IndyCar, speaking of these cars and all the different technology, that IndyCar just switched to hybrid cars. So they made them do this in the middle of the season. So if they're going hybrid, you know, can fully electric regular race cars be too far behind? I don't know. I don't think so. But
no, I think they're coming. I think
they're coming.
Now to your point, changing power plants in the middle of the season, that I'm not sure that I agree with that. I don't think that is fair for any
horrible.
Team.
Yeah.
And not only that, but I think they forgot something very, very important. When you have a hybrid power plant, the power that comes to the wheels, it comes in you know, with a lot more torque. And that's why they had to slow down the race to run for 10 laps to lower the tire temperature. That is a big boo-boo, I think, as a, if you think of an organizer. You know, not only do you punish the teams with engines in the middle of the season, and now they have to learn how to work with them, but also the tires are were not ready for hybrid engines. So not good. And it looks like Honda has departed the IndyCar. So it will be a complete spec series, which I think is the best. I think IndyCar as a spec series is what it should be. Great racing, great racing. Not an entity that has pushed the interest of OEMs.
Yeah, and the first winner of the hybrid era in IndyCar was Pato O'Ward.
Yes, and poor Joseph ended up in the middle, in the back.
He was probably distracted. He saw you waving from, you know, the sidelines, and
He was lucky he didn't break his thumbs. He hit the wall pretty hard.
Yeah. I don't think Joseph is into this new car.
Nobody is.
It was a hard-fought race, O'Ward said. We were really, really strong on the reds, the tires. So, well, a win's a win, whether it comes with hybrid power or not, right?
And you know what is a win? You know what is a win, Michelle and Mark, that Mazda has announced that the new CX-50 will have a hybrid. And that's really good news.
This is good because that's a hot seller for Mazda. This is only going to kill the other the other players in the segment.
I love the look of the CX-50. It has certain, you know, aggressiveness. It tells you that there is something about it. I think they've Mazda always has a very good design department. Right. I'm talking about design department, Mark. You went to a special place. Tell us about it.
This morning, I went to right here in Pasadena. General Motors opened up another design facility. They've been working on this thing for years. As you know, they had a facility out in North Hollywood, and that was just a leased facility. This new one is much larger, and they converted it. They spent a lot of time working on it to convert it to the use of a car design facility. So there's a lot of skylights, a lot of natural light in there, a lot of space. And when we went there this morning to check, and it's not open up to the public, so I'm not going to give you an address or anything because you can't go in and check it out. But there was all kinds of space, and they had a bunch of their cool cars that they had designed right there in Southern California. They remember the it was called the IROC Z. This was 1989. That was right after the Pontiac Banshee. They came up with the IROC Z. The Stingray 3 in 1992. Remember that? The Salza in 1992, which sort of ushered in the era of the small SUV. The Pontiac Solstice was developed by General Motors in Southern California. The GMC Granite from 2010, and the Cadillac El Mirage, just some of the cool cars made by General Motors here in Southern California. And that GM design facility now has a new home in, well, I don't want to say where, but because, like I said, you can't go see it. But expect a lot of very nice, more very cool cars coming out of that. We got to see one that they're working on, but then they said, well, you can look at it, but you can't talk about it. So just imagine a new vehicle. I mean, why do they do that? Why do they show us stuff and then say you can't talk about it? It's like look but don't touch kind of thing. But
Cadillac anyway. Cadillac just show us this new concept that is a convertible, and it's beautiful. Definitely, by everything that I gather, it's pretty much targeted to women buyers. But it's a very, very nice convertible.
It is beautiful. It is beautiful. There's an article on it at AutoWeek.com. It is done up in a yellow, very light yellow, that is a color from the 1950s. And when I first saw the color, because they, you know, they have some beautiful shots of it. And I talked to one of the designers this morning at the GM design facility. And I said, is that color from the 50s? And yeah, it turns out it is from the 50s, because you remember that sort of the golden age of like Tri-5 Chevys and cars like that, the post-war elegance, Michelle?
Well, pastels are coming back, baby. And I can tell you, because I have a pastel blue car, I'm starting to see more of the powder colors and the light colors. I think maybe we're coming out of the doldrums of these grays and these, at first it was kind of a novelty, I guess, the dolphin grays and the kind of dull colors. But I think pastels are coming back.
Oh, okay. Yeah, pastels are cool cars, cool colors for cars. Try saying that backwards.
Yeah, you did.
remember the little GM, what was the little GM five-door hatchback, the really, really small cars, like the smallest
car? The Spark.
Spark. Mm-hmm. That came with some really neat-looking colors. I don't know if you could call them pastels, but that the colors just made you love those little cars even more.
Exactly.
And not think about, you know, crash.
So I think it's cool that Cadillac, because they've been kind of going for a demographic that likes things dark-ish, right?
Yeah.
And now they're going in this different direction. I think it's cool. I like it.
Well, this concept that they showed this morning, not this morning, I suppose it a couple days ago, that and the El Mirage, which is the hardtop version of that, are long, long cars, very graceful, very elegant. And as you'll notice, they are not being made. So nobody wants to buy a sedan or maybe even a convertible. The numbers of those are dwindling. And so I have not heard that any of those are actually going to be produced. So we'll just have to wait and see. But what we do not have to wait and see is Ricardo's review of the Jeep Compass Trailhawk. When did you get that, Ricardo?
Last week.
How was it?
I really like it. But if you're in the market to buy a car, you may consider, if you're looking for a big SUV, you might want to stop by a Lincoln dealership, because the Navigators are stocking up. The inventory rise on an average 150 days. That means when cars stay too long at a dealership, usually the dealership needs to move it, and they're willing to have some discount. So right now, the Lincoln Navigator has almost 150 days. Yeah, so Navigator is a car that you could find some good discounts. The Honda Ridgeline also will be offering some big discounts, and the Volvo CX-40. So these are the 3 weeks that this week will be on sale. Let's talk about the Jeep. I really like the Jeep. But I have to say, Jeep engineers, they really know how a car should perform on a trail. This Compass, it's almost like two vehicles. It's one that you drive on the streets and on the highway, and another one when you're on the trails. And that is its element. It's very difficult to put this car into a comparison with other compact crossovers or SUV that are all-wheel drive, because the focus is on the suspension. And since I had that vehicle, I decided to go into the Mojave Desert and take advantage of the full moon. So I went to a dry lake to see the moon coming out and stay there until midnight and drive all these trails. This vehicle, it really transforms. Once you hit the trails, it's so smooth the way it rolls, and it takes all the bumps and potholes and all that. So kudos to Jeep on building this car. It's powered by it's a totally new engine. It's a 2-liter, a double overhead cam, all aluminum, cylinder head, block. It does have a turbo. It generates 200 horsepower and about 220 foot-pound of torque. It's matched with 8-speed automatic transmission, and it's all-wheel drive. With a little switch next to the shifter, you can choose between 4 modes of traction, meaning, you know, one for the highway, one for when you hit in snow, another one for mud. I do recommend that if you're thinking about a Jeep Compass and the reason you're going to buy a Jeep, pay the extra money and get the Trailhawk, because that's when you get your bang for the buck. Yes, it does cost a little
difference?
Bit more.
Yeah, the starting price of a Jeep Compass is $25,900 on their
that's
website.
Right.
What's how much more is the Trailhawk?
The Trailhawk, it's a lot more. It's $35,000.
Wow, it's another $10,000.
But there's a big difference, and I have to say, if you are the type of family that like to go camping, like to enjoy the trails, go into the forest, maybe camp out, or just enjoy a day out there picnicking in the woods, strongly will say that this is its cup of tea. Now, on the other hand, when you're on the highway and when you're on the freeway, The Trailhawk comes with special, you know, off-road tires that are really, I mean, they call it all-terrain, but really they're very, very knobby, 19-inch wheels that provide a lot of grip on loose surfaces. That's the compromise. When you're on the freeway, the vehicle tends to, like, you know, the steering gets a little bit uneasy sometimes. Nothing to really worry about. But, you know, if you were to compare it to a Mazda CX-5, then you will see, well, the Mazda is wonderful at speed and cornering and so forth. But then it's not going to be the same on the trails. I like the new interior of the Jeep Compass. I think they've done a wonderful job. All Jeeps, you've seen the transformation in the last 4 or 5 years, Jeep has taken upon themselves to design these very premium interiors with color combinations, moldings, and all that, that they make sort of the vehicle stand out. I was just thinking, we all know about the RAV4 being the hot seller in this segment of compact crossovers, but you can be the hot seller, you can be the leader in sales, but it seems like you don't have these interiors, and the Jeep have that.
Is there still any Fiat, Chrysler, anything on this Jeep Compass? Because it used to be, you said it has an all-new engine. Is there anything left from Fiat on that? Do you happen to know?
You know, that's a good question. They did not share that with me. I did look under the hood, and there were no markings from Italy. Yep. So I will imagine that it's either...
It was a while ago. Yeah. It was a while ago, yeah.
Remember, this was a brand new vehicle, all new, last year, 2023.
Okay.
So they only have some upgrades for 2024, which included a bigger touchscreen, which is pretty easy to use because Jeep uses the Uconnect system, which is one of the easiest ones to use, and it seems to be always working. Very good navigation system based on the TomTom, I believe, which is very good because it also gives you the trails. When you're in the trails, you actually see the trails. Most of the GPS units do not have that feature. And it's, you know, you can connect wireless through Apple CarPlay or Android Auto. Like I said, I was very happy. I was trying to think of a good comparison for this vehicle. And the only other vehicle that came close to me is the Bronco Sport, because Ford did make an effort to create sort of a 4x4 system. And that's the only vehicle that I could compare it that it would be as good on the trails.
So did it feel to you when you were driving it like a crossover or like an SUV? Was it more like a passenger car-based crossover type thing?
Again, every time you're talking about a vehicle that is designed to be on the trails, it's not going to feel car-like. It's, you know, it's the chassis is pretty good. It's pretty stiff, but the suspension is very well tuned. So it absorbs all the undulations on the road in a very well, you know, tempered manner. It's not bouncing like it used to be the Toyota 4Runners, for example. Overall, like I said, I like the vehicle. Again, I like the vehicle because it's trail capable. You can go to any national park, state park, go on the on so many thousands of trail roads that we have around LA County and have a great time. If you're into that enjoyment, then it's something to consider.
Yeah, there are, and that's one great thing, yet another great thing about Southern California where we live and to where you are probably listening to this broadcast. There are innumerable places that you can go and explore and drive off-road, and the longer you drive, the farther you get away from, you know, civilization and lights, and you get into the dark sky territory out there in the middle of nowhere. And there are a lot of great vehicles to do it in.
I just want to mention this, Mark. I mean, I took this Jeep to this dry lake that is close to Red Mountain. I drove an hour and a half, but it was wonderful. There was nobody at the lake. Nobody. And I was like, shocked.
Did you take a picture for Michelle for our Facebook page?
Yes, I have, and I'll be sending
it to Michelle. There you go. Look at that. It's like Christmas in July here. Looking forward to that. Well, I also went a little bit off-road. Well, not really much off-road in a utility vehicle, a Honda Pilot Trail Sport. Now, as you recall, Trail Sport was sort of, I don't think it's a set, it's not a separate line. It's not like BMW M or AMG or something, but they add a few things to their existing crossover utility vehicles to make them a little bit more capable.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We all agree that Honda has made efforts in making the Trail Sport a version that you can literally take it on the trails and without compromising too much the feeling of the car on the road. Mark, can you hear me? Looks like Mark. I think I offended him when I mentioned about the pollution and the way electricity is generated, and he has abandoned us in the middle of his review. But I did drive this Honda myself, and I have to say that Michelle will agree, it's a wonderful product. Michelle, you want to say something about the trail sport?
I haven't ridden in it, but I'm a Honda lady. When I was in my mom era, that's all I drove were Hondas because they're reliable, they're well-made, they get good mileage. And I got to tell you this too, going off a little bit because it's completely in a different direction because it wasn't off the trail. John Faulkner brought over the brand new Honda that's the all EV. For me to look at this morning in that beautiful blue. And wow, I was like, man, maybe I should get another Honda.
One of the many buttons that you can push the wrong way, I meant push just then.
Right in the middle of your review.
Yeah, okay.
Pick up where you left off.
There are a million ways to mute here. That, again, I think I need conservatorship and adult supervision. So
We're glad you're back, and we want to know more about the different trail sport.
I had
where did you take it, and what did you do with
Honda
it?
Pilot, and I went all the way up to Santa Cruz almost to Yosemite and back. I put hundreds of miles on this thing, and it was now the week before, as you know, I had the Honda Passport, which is smaller, lighter, and less expensive than that. This Honda Pilot begins at $42,400, whereas the Passport is
Thank you for tuning in to KPFK. We are currently experiencing technical difficulties. As soon as we are able, we'll return you to your regularly scheduled program. Thanks for your patience.
Support comes from the Will Gear Theatricum Botanicum, returning June 1st through October 20th with outdoor repertory theater and educational programs for all ages. The Theatricum's signature production of Shakespeare's Midsummer Night's Dream is back alongside The Winter's Tale, Wendy's Peter Pan, a fresh take on the J.M. Barrie classic of a boy who wouldn't grow up, Tartuffe Born Again, a new translation and adaptation of the Molière masterpiece, and the Hispanic, Latino, Latina, Latinx, Latine Vote. The Will Gear Theatricum Botanicum is located in the heart of Topanga Canyon, just off the 101 freeway in the shade of the California Live Oaks. For further information and tickets, visit www.theatricum.com or go to kpfk.org.
No, my car broke down. This is quite unfortunate.
If that old junker in your driveway is a lost cause, get rid of it and help KPFK out in the process. It's as simple as calking 877-KPFK-AUTO and asking the operator to assist you in arranging for a pickup. We'll tow it away and we'll mail you all the necessary paperwork for writing it off of your taxes. Call us now at 877-KPFK-AUTO.
Oh no, my car broke down. That's so terrible. That's quite unfortunate. My stupid car doesn't work anymore.
Hi, this is Lila Downs. You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara, globally on kpfk.org.
Si porque te quiero, quieres llorona.